What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Now, Alex, the phone was ringing, like, non-stop all week for... love how confused you look.
What are you talking about?
Just all week. Advertisers, they wanted to be on the show.
Oh, yes, Alex of course.
So just a long list. You know, we've had the Space Museum. They want another episode. They want another ad.
Wow.
And I say, you get one. That's it.
Yeah.
Because we don't want that money.
Yeah. How are we making money from this? This is a weird setup with these sponsors.
All right, so the reason I said no to all the sponsors is...
Tell me.
We're going to do this episode for free in honor of Bernard Cribbins.
Oh, yes.
So, sorry, I should have noted that we are going to bring the tone down a little bit. The last episode we did was about Doctor Who... No, sorry, Daleks Invasion Earth.
The sequel movie.
To Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yes.
And that stars one of the actors who plays Tom Campbell is Bernard Cribbins, and that's his first appearance in Doctor Who, but it is not his last appearance. And
surprisingly, we recorded that before the news of his death had broke.
Yeah, so it would have been like, I don't know, 2 days. So he died on the 27th of July.
Yeah.
And so we probably did it, I don't know, a couple of days before.
And it was uploaded a lot later, but it's just very interesting timing.
Yeah, and... I was like, oh, like, he's such a, like, a beloved actor. And, you know, lots of people gave their, you know, they did, like, a, this is why I love Bernard Cribbins, that kind of, like, post going up on social media. Like, Russell T Davies, who has, like, restarted Doctor Who, put out a lovely message. And John Sims, who you haven't seen in Doctor Who yet, but you know from Life on Mars.
Yes.
He was also like, Bernard Cribbins, amazing, lovely man. And the funny thing is, John Sims plays the Master, who is like an evil Time Lord.
Right.
And he had to do all these scenes with Bernard Cribbins where he's like threatening to kill him and like berating him. And he was like, it was so difficult to be so mean to someone so lovely. but I thought I might just go through like really quickly, like all his Doctor Who... the list of things he's been in Doctor Who. Because I don't think that will spoil things for you. It'll just be like a series of titles.
Yeah.
So he was in Doctor Who and... sorry, Daleks Invasion Earth, 2150 AD, which a movie we weren't kind about, but I quite like him in that movie.
Yeah, we have fine things to say about him.
Yeah, because he's a lovely person.
He's definitely better than Roy Castle was. But I don't know how much... that character, I should say, not the actor.
Yeah, and I was really sad the day he died because I was like... he's quite a prominent character. Bernard Cribbins' character in modern Doctor Who is quite significant and just really lovely. So let me find... so after the Dalek Invasion of Earth, 2150 AD, he was in... he returned to Doctor Who in Horror of Glam Rock in 2007.
So audio play, it looks like.
An audio play with Paul McGann's Eighth Doctor. So... Not as Tom Campbell, but as a different character. And then we see him on the screen again in The Voyage of the Damned in 2007, so the same year, as Wilfred Mott, which, oh my gosh. So the first time you see Bernard Cribbins again, he just runs this little newsstand and he sees the Doctor for like maybe, I don't know, he's in the scene for like maybe 5 minutes. And he talks to the Doctor about... because the Doctor's like, it's a Christmas special.
Right.
And the Doctor's like, there's no one outside for Christmas. And Wilfred Mott's like, yeah, because every Christmas, something terrible happens. Because there's a Christmas special every year, which means there's always some alien invading Earth every year.
Right.
So he's just like, why would anyone be out? So he's quite a good character. And so I think Russell T Davies liked... Bernard Cribbins so much, he just kept bringing him back.
Right.
And then he eventually becomes a companion. So he's in Voyage of the Damned in 2007, Partners in Crime, so the Sontaran Stratagem, The Poison Sky, Turn Left, The Stolen Earth, Journey's End, and then he's a companion, so he travels on the TARDIS for The End of Time, Parts 1 and 2. And then, so that, his last on-screen appearance was in 2010. In next year, he's returning for the 60th anniversary special. So he filmed all those scenes.
Oh, wow.
Before he passed away.
Okay.
So we'll see him.
More of him.
Yeah. They'll probably do like a in memory of Bernard Cribbins. But just a very awesome person. And so it's, you know, it's a bit sad.
Yeah.
But he was also like 93. So yeah. That's a pretty good age.
To As we to. Say in Australia, he had a good innings, mate.
He's in the Wombles. I think that was another thing that people remember him from. Oh, just heaps of things. Like his IMDb page is...
Yeah, he forever. Seems like one of those guys that's just constantly working.
Yeah. And I was listening to David Tennant say some things about him. And he just like constantly just talk about experiences he's had in his career and oh, so good. Now, Handbrake Turn into like more positive things.
Yes.
Is
it Doctor Who?
Who? Alright, so for this Is It Doctor Who thing, it was your birthday.
Yay!
Now, I was wondering, would you think I'd be as bold to give you something that's Doctor Who related?
No.
No.
Well, you could have tricked me, then that would have been pretty cool.
But I thought this could be a good opportunity to flip this genre on its head.
Oh, okay.
And for you to be the fan, although I'm kind of a fan, but and then me be the fool of this thing. Well, I wanted to get you something that was like...
Something I like.
That could prove your intelligence about the thing.
Now the pressure's on. This is the most pressure-scented gift I've ever received. I did not have this. It is Trivial Pursuit Batman Edition. Bite size. Ooh, very nice.
I've got a Doctor Who one.
Oh!
And we could do like one questioner from each.
Yep.
And see who knows most about the thing.
Okay.
Alright.
Here we go. Question.
I won't look at the answer, because then I can also answer it.
Okay.
Oh, come on, this is easy. All right. True or false, Commissioner Gordon knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Okay, usually false, but sometimes true.
Yeah. What an open-ended question.
Yeah.
Because I would say both. It says false.
Yeah. That's probably the right answer, but depending on which story arc you're looking at, it could be different.
What colour is Silver St. Cloud's hair?
Well, that's a great question because... First of all, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to say silver.
I will also, I'll say grey. Silver.
I win. The silver man had the silver hair. Okay. Thank you very much. That is a lovely gift.
No worries. I like lovely gifts.
That's really cool. Okay, fan. Let's see how much of a fan you are. Here we go. Which are the only two doctors not to have come face to face with the Cyberman?
Two doctors. It would be the Eighth Doctor and the Ninth Doctor.
Yes.
Because the Eighth Doctor has met the Cybermen in audio plays only. And same with the Ninth Doctor.
Ooh, logic. So, okay.
Yeah.
Two more questions for you.
Yeah.
I only say that because one of them is Doctor Who related and one of them kind of isn't, which is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Here's the first That's one. Cool, cool. What did Donna Noble...
Oh, this might spoil things for you.
Notice about bees that helped the doctor realize the earth was in great danger.
The bees were disappearing.
Yes.
Yes, because they were returning to their home planet.
Well, now you spoiled some story in 500 years' time that I won't
It's remember. In 2009 okay. or something, I think.
So, okay, here we go. You're all right. Here's one that's not really Doctor Who related. John Cleese.
Oh, yeah.
Guest starred in a Fourth Doctor adventure. But which of these film franchises has he not appeared in?
Oh.
Harry Potter, James Bond, Shrek, Ice Age.
Well, he has been in Harry Potter and James Bond. Because he's Q. Oh, no, he's not Q. He replaces Q in James Bond. So what were the other two? Ice Age and...
Shrek.
I don't think he would do Shrek.
So which one has he not appeared in?
Shrek.
Ice Age.
Ah.
The end. He might be in like Shrek 4 and we just don't know because it's the whole franchise.
Or A Shrekingly Good Christmas. Isn't that one of them or something?
I hope so. Otherwise, that just came out of nowhere, and that's just even worse. That is a lovely gift. Thank you.
No worries.
It will be many a fun time. Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of Audioplay.
Of Audioplay. Doctor Who, Classic Doctors, New Monsters, Volume 3. The Stuff of Nightmares. Doctor Who, Classic Monsters, New Monsters is exactly what it is. So it's doctors from the 60s, 70s, 80s versus monsters from the today, 2000 and whatever's.
Interesting.
So it's a bit different, but it's very good. So a
very new release, I see.
Yeah, it was a couple, last week. I think it might have been last week, and I just listened to it on the weekend.
Right.
So we've got the third Doctor, played by Tim Treloar, because John Pertwee is dead, and Sadie Miller is playing Sarah Jane Smith, because Elizabeth Sladen passed away not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
So they do the voices really well. Tim Treloar is really good. And we've got the third Doctor, and he faces, he goes to the house that Hox built.
Okay.
So you don't know what Hox is yet, but he's the brother of a character on the TV show.
Right.
Called someone else.
Hox's
brother. That's exactly what he's called.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the highlight, though. So there's a third Doctor adventure, a fourth Doctor adventure. And the fourth Doctor faces Tivolian. And Tivolians are very pacifist creatures, mm-hmm. but he finds one that's like, I'm going to kill everyone. And he's like, this is a problem. Oh. So,
and he's probably interested as a scientist why this one's different, I'm guessing. That's part of the thing.
Yes, it is part of the thing. But probably the highlight is the last two episodes. The last two episodes are called Together in Eclectic Dreams and If I Should Die Before I Wake. And they're both about monsters called dream crabs. And basically, they like lock onto your head and they drink your brain, but to kind of trick you into not knowing about it, they force you into like having a pleasant dream.
Oh.
And so but the dreams are interconnected with everyone else who's also dreaming. So they might be sucking the brains out of like four people, and then those four people have a shared dream, but they might not know each other in real life. So it is pretty good. And the sixth Doctor and the eighth Doctor, they both have it on them. And so they meet each other in a dream and they're like, this can't be right. I don't remember this. Like, I don't remember being you
right. And
going through this, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's very good. I wouldn't say it's like as amazing as other ones I listen to, but it's always very, very cool when classic Doctors are like, it's time to fight something different and from the 2000s when special effects are much better.
Right.
But I give it
out of 13, because soon it'll be out of 14.
I give it a 9.
Ooh, that's quite nice.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Who's that?
Christopher Eccleston.
And Eccleston.
He's not here. He's not here, but he is almost being released. There he is. Into the stars, because he still likes to get paid.
Why is he battling the Night King from Game of Thrones?
That is not that. That is this thing, a Zetacene. You'll get through it. Are you ready?
Ready, sir.
Current episode. We trudged through the BBC records and we found the remaining four episodes of Galaxy 4.
Yes.
And we watched the live action versions only. No, I'm just kidding. We bought this on Blu-ray.
It's animated.
Yeah, it's animated. So there's four episodes.
But the third one is the original.
Yes. And which we saw cool. One scene from episode one as well.
It's a special feature, yeah.
So, that, in particular, like, seeing that third episode made me quite disappointed, because it looks like William Hartnell's at, like, A-plus level. He's, like, acting
out of his face.
And you just see those little, like, movements and excited, like how excited he gets when he starts going through lines and stuff. I think this must mean, you know, it's season three. It's really become quite a popular thing. He must just be like loving it.
Yeah.
He looked like he was like, this is everything I want to do forever.
And it's gone forever. Thanks, BBC.
So yeah, unfortunately, the first two episodes and the last episode, so episodes 1, 2, and 4, they're all animated.
Yeah, but it's the original audio.
Yeah, it is the original audio, and
animations are fine.
I do think,
or are they?
I do think once you watch that third episode, you can kind of put in, like, once you see the actors' faces, you can kind of place them in the animation.
Yes,
there's that woman that the evil woman who keeps staring at the camera in all her monologues. Yeah. And she wasn't really doing that in the animated ones.
I don't think she does it once in the animation.
No, but there's lots of like, and then we'll kill them. And she's just looking at the camera.
And you're like, why are you looking at me, you freak?
I guess the doctor does a few things like that in the past, doesn't he? Where he's like, well, we'll see about that. And he looks at the camera.
Yes.
There's a really good one in the Four Doctors. I know I keep bringing it up, but I cannot wait till we get to the Four Doctors. That's the 25th anniversary special.
Oh man, we're a ways away. We're in season 3. It's like 1966. Well, we're going to
lose a lot of episodes in a minute, so it's fine. When were we last?
When were we last? Well, I guess in Doctor Who that works because it's time travel. When were we last?
Because it was Vicky and Stephen, and before this, there was the Dalek, the Chase, and then there was the
Time Meddler.
The Time Meddler. So the monk, that was like an amazing level episode.
Yes.
And I have to be honest, when we started watching this one, it was a little ho-hum and like a little bit slow. But I actually think once you see the live action one, you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. The Doctor, Vicky and Stephen arrive on an eerily silent planet. Do you remember the name of the planet?
No.
Marja. Nah, it's another name planet. Marja's like the name of the
woman.
The location. It says main enemy, not main setting. My bad. Marja is the very bad guy. And the planet, it just says unnamed planet.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's literally about to just, well, let's not spoil things.
I do think it's interesting when they land. Like, this is something that goes away. Like, all the safety checks. He does that all again. Yeah.
Does there come a point where he just doesn't check?
Oh, what's the point of checking?
Okay.
But he has a nice, like, moment where he's like, this planet should have life. Mm. And yet it doesn't.
Oh, how interesting.
Which we find out about when we move on to the planet, that there's actually are two species of beings there.
Hmm, this sounds awfully familiar.
And they are at war with each other.
Oh.
One is more pacifist than the other, though.
Oh. And it
prefers, like, you know, studies of, you know, intelligent things and preserving life. And the other one just wants to destroy anything that's not them.
Yes.
What species do you think I'm talking about?
The Daleks.
Daleks. So it is a little bit like copy-paste, I think.
Except...
Yep.
The pacifist group of people and the aggressive group of people are swapped. It would be as if the Daleks were the nice ones.
That is true. I did think of that. Because the pacifists in this are also, I would say, more powerful than the aggressors.
Yes, which is different again.
Yeah, and I don't understand, if you're versing an enemy that's more powerful than you, why you would want to provoke them. Because you're a crazy person.
Yes.
And you've got a weird system where you make clone people who just work for you.
Who look like you, but you also insult them for only constantly being a clone. Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't break free of their programming and were like, we're out of here.
This sucks.
Just before they exit the TARDIS, the crew discover a small robot feeling its way around the ship before communicating with something else with a glowing antenna, which in animation is like an arm that comes up and goes like... Burp, 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 burp. It's got like a
light. It actually has like a lightning ball appear.
But say in the live action, it looks more like those mechanoids, you know, with the little arm that comes out, but smaller.
Yeah.
Vicky Christian's the machine's Chumblies. Now, I don't know what a Chumbly is.
Well, she said... No. See, what happens is she said, look at that weird thing. It's kind of chumbling about, which is not a word.
Is chumbly a thing?
No, that's what I just said.
The Chumbly wiki page has a official, like, thing about the name. So their true real name, which is the species that built them, is unknown. Chumbly is what Vicky called them, based upon the wobbly sound that they make when moving about.
Yeah, that's what she says. She says, watch them chumbly about. And then she says, I'll call them Chumblies. But you know the weird thing? Every other person they ever speak to in this story just accepts it and goes along with the name.
Oh, so some more trivia.
Tell me.
The Chumblies were on the 11th Doctor's top 5 enemies list when he mentioned, which he mentioned to the 4th Doctor while they were making up top 5 lists.
Who said that?
The 11th Doctor.
But they're not even an enemy, really, in this episode.
No.
Maybe things change later.
Maybe.
That's interesting.
I don't know if we see them again. Do we see them again?
Well, apparently the 11th Doctor does. Maybe it's an audio play or something.
Maybe you're on an audio play.
But they were so helpful. The whole thing ends with them saying, we have so much respect for you. What a great guy. 10 generations later, he just goes, yeah, I hate them. Top 5 enemy.
I'm sure there's another... Maybe he, you know, not everything happens in a radio play or movie or TV show or any medium. Once the Chumbly has left the TARDIS, the Doctor and his companions go out and explore the planet.
Mm.
It has 3 suns and vegetation, but has no sign of animals.
Can I just quickly say before you move on? The person playing Vicky...
Yeah, go for it.
I don't always like the way she says her lines, because this is... Okay, this is literally how...
I'm crossing my arms, because I'm...
You're talking about the vegetation. She walks up to something that looks like a rose, and this is how she says it. Oh, look, there's roses. No, not roses, not quite. Those are 2 sentences.
And also, yes, there's a few times where they're like, here's your line. Say it as quickly as possible.
That must be what it is. Maybe it's not her fault. But it's like, hello.
Yeah, someone had to write that line. Think of that. And then she would have looked at me like, what do I do with this?
Well, this is how you'd say, hey, look, there's roses. Oh, no, not quite.
Oh, they just look like roses.
Hey, look, there's roses. No, not quite roses, no.
It doesn't even look like a rose.
That's true, it didn't look like a rose.
She does say, because the Doctor's like, it's a bit weird, like it feels eerie.
Yes.
Like, did we jump a time track again? Like, that's a reference to the Space Museum.
I missed that.
Was she with them at the Space Museum? That must have been not long after. Because I thought that was Susan.
It is. That's Susan and Barbara for sure.
So did they jump a time track again at another point? They must have.
I'm going to put that down to just he's a crazy old man. And it's just like, yeah, you were there for that, weren't you? Oh, no, you weren't.
No, but she said that. Did we jump a time
track again? Oh, well, maybe he's explained that to her.
Yeah, maybe.
But no, that definitely was not Vicky. That was Barbara and Susan and Ian.
Barbara and Susan and Ian.
Because we remember saw them Barbara? All. Oh.
Yeah, you got Vicky.
Oh, I'll never forget. Yeah, now we've just got these couple of...
The Doctor never forgets them.
I'll be back, Susan. Oh, wait.
You know, once he got his time... Because this harness does end up working for a while there. He didn't go and check to make sure that they made it home.
Or that she was safe with David, as in Susan.
Oh, he knows. He does go back and see her in an audio play. You know the first episode, An Unearthly Child?
Yes.
He goes back and meets her in a radio play as the 8th Doctor. So he's regenerated 7 times by that point. In a radio play called An Earthly Child. Which we could listen to when we get to the 8th Doctor.
Yes.
Because I think that might be good.
Anyway, let's move on.
I forgot to mention, when we first see them, Vicky is cutting Stephen's hair. That's not mentioned.
Oh, yes.
Just says that they land. Yes. So obviously that's something they just want to
Let's move on from this. This is awkward.
I did write, oh no, a companion with scissors. Because do you remember Susan going nuts with a pair of scissors? Yes. Yeah.
And in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
There's something about scissors in the TARDIS.
But Vicky is different from Susan in a much better way.
Oh yes, far less annoying. Even though, and even the doctor thinks so. Do you know why? Because he abandoned his own granddaughter to be like, oh jeez.
She destroyed one of my chairs. You want to marry her? Good.
Yeah. I'll be back. You stay here with this nice man.
When you're still like, ugh, I just hate thinking about it. Because maybe she's not, maybe she is much older because she's a different species, but she looks 15, 16. And she was supposed to play her as like a 15 because she's at school. Oh my gosh, she was at school with her teachers.
Yes.
And it was only like a season.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you go with this man.
And he's like a guy.
I'm up for it. That's what he says.
Well, what I was going to say is he looks like a fully grown man as in, hey, I'm a working plumber. He doesn't look like, hey, I'm starting a trade.
Ugh. Anyway, the 60s. I can't, we have to, just, everything improves from that point, right?
Have you seen now? I don't know.
Yeah, everything's fine now. Have you seen the world? Everyone is fine and equal now.
It's all great.
Anyway.
So off topic now.
Stephen is wary of the Chumbly because it returns. The Chumbly looks like it just wants them to follow it.
Yes.
And Stephen's like, time to attack. Like, immediately. And I think the animation does capture his insanity quite well, though.
Yes.
Because his face just goes from, like, oh, I'm not sure about this thing, to, I'm going to kill it.
Yeah.
And just, like, charges it. And then the machine produces a gun. And I wish we had the original footage, but it just shoots a plant. And the plant, like, bursts into flames and disintegrates into nothing, basically.
Yeah.
I would love to see how they did that. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. For real. That's a good point.
They have not gone very far when they see a group of women laying in wait for the Chumbly. They throw a metal mesh over it, which like covers it and deactivates it. So this group of people, they have a leader called Marga.
Marga.
Marga. It's M-A-A-G-A.
Either way.
And she developed this device, this mesh. One, by the way.
Mm.
Just one.
Just the one.
And how often do we see it in action? Just the one time. So it gets thrown over this, the Chumbly, and it just kind of like locks it down. And her driver, the drivers? Dravens. They take the doctor and the companions to their hideout, where we learn about the most insane plot.
Yes.
Because Marga... Now, I don't think we find out... Maybe you can help me. Because I don't think we find out what these two groups are doing here.
No, not till later.
Only that the Marjas... There was a crash. So they crashed there. They think they were shot down
by these Chumblies.
By the Chumblies, the Rels, this other species.
Yes.
And the Rels are there, I guess, to get some... They're collecting something of some kind before they fly off, before the planet explodes.
Some sort of mineral or something.
Yeah, because they breathe ammonia gas. They don't breathe oxygen. And then they're going to leave. So it sounds like from their perspective, they're there for like research purposes. And it just so happened that the Draven's ship crashed there because the Rels try to help one of them. Like there's no animosity before that, I don't think.
Are you asking about what actually happened?
Or what actually happened.
What actually happened was they were both in ships above the planet, and are they called Rels?
The Rels, yeah.
We're trying to communicate with the other ship, and we're trying to be peaceful. But they got no response, and then they realized that the other ship was going to attack, so they went to leave. The Dravens attacked them, so as a defensive measure, they shot back, and then both ships crashed onto the planet.
But the Rel ship, still operational.
Yes.
The Draven's inferior ship, not operational.
But the Dravens first tell the crew that they were the ones who got shot first, not the other way around.
Yeah. But their plan is to steal the Rel's ship.
Yes.
And fly away.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that in their previous encounter with the Rels, they came off second best.
They got bodied.
Yeah. So Steven is suspicious of the Dravens. He's suspicious of all sides.
Yes.
It seems to be they who are in the wrong rather than the Rels. His position is strengthened when Marga reveals that the Rels have offered help, but the Dravens have refused for fear of being killed. So they're like, this is all a misunderstanding. We're going to help you off this planet that's about to explode. And they're like, nah, we're good. We're going to kill you and take your ship.
Yeah.
And that's when the Doctor, Steven, and Vicky are like, okay.
You're not the good guys here.
What's going on here? They're like, last time you encountered the good guys, they looked like you, and the bad guys looked like them.
Yeah.
How come it's the other way around?
Oh my gosh. And the important thing is the Dravens say to the crew, this planet is going to explode in 14 dawns time.
Everything you said about the two ships, like that's all now right in front of
them. I might be slightly wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's...
Well, it says they were exploring this part of the galaxy when the ships were shot down by the Rels, though they managed to shoot the Rels down as well. That's what the Marga say.
Yeah.
But it's the other way around.
Other way around.
And this is somewhere in Galaxy... They're from Galaxy 4? Which is Galaxy 4.
This has to be Galaxy 4, right? Why would they call it the whole story serial Galaxy 4?
The planet... The Dravens are from the planet Drava in Galaxy 4.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
The story is interrupted when Chumleys approach the ship. The Dravens attack them and the Chumleys deactivate briefly, but then go on their way. So they're just like, okay, we'll leave now. Because you're going to shoot us. The Doctor tells the Dravens that he's a scientist. So he's been told by them that the planet's going to explode in a fortnight. And he's like, let me have a look at this. Because he wants to check that that's true.
Yeah.
But the Dravens are like, one person's got to stay here. And so Vicky's like, I'll stay.
Mm.
And the Doctor and Steven are like, all right, well, we'll go. When the Doctor and Steven arrive at the TARDIS, they find a Chumley trying to break the TARDIS force barrier. And Steven and the Doctor hide until the Chumley leaves.
And the Doctor's like, ha ha, he's not going to get through that.
And then Marga berates the other Dravens for losing her metal mesh.
Yes.
Her steel mesh? Her metal mesh. And then she has a big, like, rant about how they're inferior to her and she's, like, a real person.
Yeah. And,
like, barely anything.
Which is so weird. And
they're all like, okay.
Because she gets upset at them because they can't think. And then she provides a logical reason why they're inferior, but they can't think. Why are you bothering?
The Doctor and Steven decide they must leave immediately because... Do they have 14 days?
No, they have 2 dawns.
They have 2 dawns.
Now, we have to work out, what does that even mean? Because there's 3 suns on this planet.
Yeah, we didn't mention that.
We're not on the planet, but it has 3 suns. And then they all burned and it was over.
So there's 3 suns, which I assume this is why this planet is going to explode, because maybe the gravitational pull of everything is
right.
Going to rip it apart. But there's 3 suns. Now, we had a conversation. This might not be Doctor Who related, but if 1 sun rises, that's a dawn.
Yes.
But if the 2nd sun rises, is that another dawn, or is it just a continuation of day?
Well, see, here's the thing. The Doctor said...
Because nighttime only lasts, like, 2 hours or something?
Yeah, so it must just be sunshine for the whole time from the 3 suns, and then they have, like, a single dawn between the 3 cycles of the sun.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, then my question is, why bother bringing out the fact that there's three suns? Why not just have one sun and it means the same thing?
Because they can look at the sky and be like, there's three suns, and visually it looks good.
How cool, it's a space thing.
Yeah. This isn't Earth. You know?
Oh, right. I didn't pick that up from the lack of life or the Dravens or the Chumblies. It's because there's two extra suns. Never mind, we're traveling through space for three seasons. Well, two.
Two and a bit.
Two and a bit, and a couple of fun movies, which are the fiction inside the fiction of this show.
Yeah. When Steven and Doctor get back to the Draven ship, Steven points out that it is made of metal and the Chumblies ray can penetrate it. So he's a bit like, they could destroy this, so why haven't they? It's because they're not evil. Inside the ship, the Doctor hides the truth from the Draven and again tries to convince them to befriend the Rels and work together. But Marja rejects this.
And then she somehow knows just by looking at... Well, yeah, just by looking at their face that they're lying. She looks at Steven's face and realizes... Was that the next episode?
I think it might be the next one. Because they haven't gone to see the Rels yet. So she grows suspicious of the Doctor and pulls a gun on him. The Doctor says, oh, that's right. He doesn't... they don't tell... You're right. You're right. You're right.
Just say it one more time.
You're right.
Thank you.
So they tell... They found out about the... It's not 14 days they have left. They have two.
Yes.
They don't tell the Dravens that.
Yes.
So she's like, you're withholding something, I can tell. And then they're like, it's actually 2 days.
Yeah.
So the Doctor's like, why don't we try and make some peace here?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I'll go talk to the Rels. Maybe we can all leave. And so I don't think Marja and her Dravens are like on board with that completely. But she's a bit like, all right, you go do that. And she offers him a gun and he says, I don't use weapons, neither do my friends.
Yes, I made a note about this. Is this episode 2 now?
Yes.
I never kill anything.
Except if we're in the Dark Ages. And I've got a rock, and there's a person holding me. Like, yeah. Remember that back? Remember in the
cave literally of one of the first things we find about the Doctor is that he wanted to kill a caveman.
But I do think he's grown,
yes,
significantly.
But there's still times when people have died because of what they've done. It's a very strange thing. Well, it's kind of, I guess, it's kind of.
Didn't he start that fire in Reign of Terror?
Well, yes.
Didn't he get all those people killed in the Space Museum? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that, but there was a whole bunch of dead bodies, and he's like, we survived.
Yeah.
He was laughing about it.
Yeah, he's insane.
I don't use weapons, neither do my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Steven ends up pulling a gun later. To be fair, I don't think he actually shoots that gun, but he has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has the clear one. Well, there's clear plastic guns.
No. I'm still trying to get over. I believe you, and you're right.
Yes.
I'm still trying to get over his blanket statement that he doesn't kill, and neither do his companions.
They do, though.
That's what I mean. So it's like,
I think maybe he's like, from now on.
Okay, cut out all the killing. Okay, we're starting fresh.
To be honest, a lot of his companions.
New year, new me.
He probably doesn't really do much killing from here on in. He does get a bit clever and, like, tricks people into destroying themselves.
Oh.
So, got and then him. He regrets. He has regret. He becomes a man who regrets. That's how he's referenced at some point.
A man who regrets.
A man who regrets. And the man who forgets. And the one that just kills everyone. You're going to meet him. That's great.
Oh, so you really just talk about this iteration doesn't really kill.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Not directly. Not directly.
You killed everyone on that ship that time. And he's like, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, he doesn't kill people. He will strand them in a random place and time forever.
I do think what you'll find is quite interesting is, like, we haven't had the Doctor on his own adventures yet.
Right.
He's always got companions with him. And it's the times where he doesn't have anyone with him that he just goes a bit, well, I'll just do, like, there's no moral compass with him.
Right, okay.
So he kind of is left to his own devices. So before that all happens, I did have a note about the food that they're eating.
Yes.
Leaves.
Leaves. And then they're shocked that Vicky's like, why would I eat this?
It's real food. I know real food.
Yeah.
Do you have real food? I'm like, no, just leaves.
Basically the whole conversation.
I wonder if that actor, because back then they wouldn't have had like prop like leaves. That would be like maybe, leaves. I don't know, mint chocolate or something.
Oh yeah, yes.
I wonder if she just had to eat leaves. Because she has a bite of them.
Oh yeah, and you can hear a crunch.
I think she just had to, they were like, we need you to eat these. She would be like, what?
You hear a crunch crunch.
So Vicky and the doctor, they go off to talk to the Rells, and Steven's the one that's left behind this time.
Yeah, and yeah, I won't skip ahead, sorry, yes.
Steven tries to create disharmony between Marja and the other Dravens.
Yes.
And she realizes that they got to the planet from their own ship. So she's like, we'll go to your ship and you can fly us out of there. And Steven's like, I can't fly that thing.
You have to have the doctor.
Yeah. And they're like, we probably should have worked that out before we just sent him off to our enemies.
Yeah.
He's left alone and falls asleep.
As you do.
As you do.
In a high-pressure situation.
You sleep.
When you're on a planet that's two dawns away from exploding, you're in the middle of a civil war between two nations, and you're being held at gunpoint, you just have a casual nap.
Of course.
Of course.
Trapped by a Chumley patrol, the Doctor and Vicky are forced to observe, note, collate, and then conclude their routine. There's a patrol, and they're just... The Doctor and
Vicky... They're trying to sneak through.
Doctor and Vicky are trying to sneak through. Vicky decides to test a theory. This is where it gets a bit funny. So she throws a stone behind one of the Chumleys.
Where it's travelling away from them.
But it doesn't move. Like, it doesn't react. So... But at first he's like, what are you doing? You try and get us killed, basically. And she figures out that they can only see, like, what's right in front of them.
Mm.
Which, by the way, horrible.
Yes.
Because... That's easy to sneak past. Because they don't seem to hear.
No.
And they don't have sight. So they must just kind of sense. Like, they must have, like, a sense that only detects what's in front of them. Well done.
This super smart alien thing. Yeah, you'd think it would make something better.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's going to be just called a Chumbly... And that guy goes, yeah, we'll call them that, whatever.
Yeah. They obviously just have them as drones to, like, venture out. They're not...
They communicate back.
Yeah. But not. They're not, like, sophisticated weapons.
No.
The Doctor and Vicky are found out. So a big, like, gate traps the Doctor in one room and Vicky on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chumleys are coming. And, as they look around.
Yes. They look over and they see through a glass panel into a different room.
One of the Rells.
Which just looks like a hideous monster.
Yeah. Which I think this episode, you know, this does one thing really well.
Mm.
Which is the fact that those hideous monsters, good guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like some strange monster that's trying to kill everyone. They just seem like pretty... normal beings.
Episode 3.
Airlock. So this is the bit where that gate drops. Right. So we this is the one we saw in real. Like, no animation.
This is like real life. Yes.
But in a TV. It's this is like real life, but it's in TV. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. It's no longer animated. This is the actual actors physically live action episode.
And I loved it. This is where I was like, oh, I'm in. Like, because I think once you see William Hart, so they run away And then the gate falls, and Vicky's on one side, and the Doctor's on the other. And he gets to be, like, full William Hartnell, like, doing all his things.
Yep.
You're like, oh, yeah, this one. He knows what he's doing.
Which means that as good as the animation is, and it's pretty good, it doesn't quite capture...
him.
No.
So, Vicky goes with the Chumblies, because she's like, oh, it looks like they want me to follow. And while the Doctor tries to figure out a way of, like, messing with the gas in the ship that they're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
The rails are breathing, rather. So back to Stephen, who's, like, pretending to be asleep. Marja comes up with this strategy. So if the Doctor and Vicky succeed, because the Doctor and Vicky are there to take command of the rails ship.
That's what she's told them
to do. She's told them to do, because otherwise she'll kill Stephen or whatever. So if they succeed, she's going to take that ship and leave the realms and the humans, that being Vicky, Stephen, and, well, what she thinks is a human is the Doctor,
right,
to die. She orders the Dramas to patrol the perimeter, leaving one to guard the sleeping Stephen. That was the bit where they had a bit back and forth where they're like, it's time for patrol, and she's like, no, not now.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but we always do patrol now.
Because they're just so...
programmed.
Yeah, they have such an inability to think through things. She also mentions that her overall goal, or the overall goal of her people, is to conquer space.
Yes.
But they're just useless. Like, the only reason she's in this position is because her ship is so bad that when it got shot out of the sky, she doesn't have the ability to communicate with the other people and make a plan to escape. They're just hopeless.
Stephen takes a gun off one of them.
That was in the last episode.
Yeah, it's not even in here.
I'll tell you why. Because not even they know what that scene was supposed
to be. Yeah, there's... Okay, so for people listening, there's a weird scene where Stephen takes a gun off one of the Dravens. I guess because he doesn't want to be a hostage.
Yes. Fair enough.
And points it at Marja.
Yep.
And I don't know if he tries to fire it.
That's what it looked like.
But it just doesn't work. And then he's just like, dang.
And then he tries to feign like, oh, just giving it... And he starts to wipe it. Just giving it a nice clean for you.
I mean, the Doctor does say that his friends don't use guns.
Well, they just
can't. So maybe Stephen went to fire and then he remembered that. You know, it's like
that Professor Oak thing
where it's like, now's not the time to use that.
That makes more sense, because it's not really clear if he can't shoot or if he chose not to shoot. It's just, that's the one part of the animation that wasn't very good, was that scene.
Yeah. It kind of just looks like he points a gun and then decides not to shoot.
Yeah. Which makes the most sense. You've made that scene make more sense to me than the animation, because I didn't even pick up that might be what it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, now he's pretending to be asleep. So, Vicky's with the Chumblies. The Doctor's is like, I'll get you out of there. The Marja is like, she comes up with her plan. And then we're back to Vicky with the Chumblies. And this a speaker, like, she can hear sound coming from one of them. And it turns out to be one of the Rels communicating with her.
The hideous creature she saw through the window.
And they're like, they even know, like, how prejudiced the universe is. Because they're like, if you see us... we look a bit, so
they almost are like, we're not even angry that those other people hate us, because have a look.
Look at us. It's like, I can't see you, and they're like, you don't want to.
Yeah, it's kind of like a foggy screen.
And then they come back to that later.
Yep.
When they see them for real, and the Doctor even makes, like, you know, maybe if I'd just seen you before I knew you, I'd think you're a monster. But I've heard, like, we've communicated. So yeah. You're fine. You know what I mean? Like, he even understands in himself. He's like, maybe I would have thought ill of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting point to make.
It was. And he even says, like, because the rail guy says, don't we, like, shock you with how we look? And the Doctor's like, well, yes, at first, maybe, but, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But I'm the Doctor.
Yeah.
Look at me.
It's actually a nice scene.
Yeah, it is. So, Vicky learns from the rails that the drivers have been lying to her, and they tell her what really happened. And there's a flashback of, like,
yes,
of one of the drivers being, like, unconscious beside a ship, and the Rel's trying to go and help her, and they get fired at by Marja.
Yes.
Who then kills that Draven.
Yeah, one of her own clones. One of her own people.
One of her sub, you know, beneath her people.
Yeah.
And she does that to, I guess, inspire them to be more aggressive to the Rels.
Mm.
Because they've killed one of
Yeah, Aaron. She can pretend it was them.
Yeah.
And then I had a question for you, because I don't remember I couldn't think of any other example of a flashback so far in Doctor Who. Is this the first flashback we ever see?
I think so, but it is not the last.
No, I assume not. But I can't think of another time when a character, either the crew or a different person they've met, has a flashback. Maybe I'm wrong. No,
but I think it is a more effective way. Because there have been times in Doctor Who where someone has said something like, that's not how it happened. It happened like this.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Right, as opposed to actually having, like, a scene play out.
Yes.
Which, this is more effective.
Yeah.
To be like, let me tell you a story, and then the dream.
To show it, yeah. But it's just interesting. That might be the first ever. And it's in an episode that we've only just recently been able to watch.
Yeah. Vicky realizes the Rels are not the enemy. If they cannot bear the planet's atmosphere, the Doctor's tinkering will kill them. So she's like, oh my gosh.
Yes, because we should mention,
yeah,
before they've had a chance to talk with this Rel, they think they've been captured by the enemy. They're trying to break out of there. So the Doctor says, I can fiddle with this air purifying machine and basically kill them. Oh, you know the guy who said, oh, we don't kill. That guy one episode ago. Yeah, him.
Yeah. He said we don't use guns. No, he said.
I wrote down, we never kill
anything. I don't use weapons, neither do my friends.
I thought he said, I never kill anything.
Oh, he does say that too.
But he's going to tamper with the air purifier inside this ship.
Maybe they'll just leave then.
Oh, I didn't mean to kill them. Oh, no.
Anyway,
so he now stops because Vicky's like, don't, this hideous freak look thing is actually quite a nice man.
Yeah, she's like, these are not the bad guys.
Yeah.
And so they start to formulate a plan. Stephen wakes, like, he's pretending to be asleep. And one of the Dravens is kind of looking a bit tired beside him.
Yeah.
So he takes the gun from her and, like, well, he knocks her out first.
Yeah.
And there's quite an audible, like, he hits her. Like, not on screen.
I'm not laughing at the fact that there's violence. I'm laughing at how, like, oh, jeez.
It was a bit, you know.
It's the 60s.
Like, it wasn't on camera. His body kind of hides it. But you hear him hit her. Yes. I would have thought it would have been better, I don't know, if he just had the gun. Because what does he do after that? He just goes into the airlock room. He may as well just point the gun at her. Or render her unconscious. Just,
yeah. The last time I felt that uncomfortable was
smack bottom.
No, I mean about this topic.
Okay.
In the show, is during the episode, remember when the Doctor had to be a lawyer?
Yes.
And do you remember they had to sneak into this person's room and they were listening on the other side of the door and they could hear domestic violence?
Yeah.
That long ago. Slap
or whatever. Yes. Then.
I think that was season one.
Yeah. The 60s.
That was the one where they had to travel to all those places. They were in the jungle and they were in the courtroom and they were in the water, scary acid water place.
Yeah, that's season one too. Swim in.
Yeah, swim.
Oh, look, grandfather, a beach. You know, that kind of thing.
That's how long it's been since I was like, ooh, it actually reminded me of that moment.
It's not so much. See, I reckon even if he had the gun, maybe knocked her out with the gun, it just seemed really weird. Like, he was on top of her and he just, like, he...
Kapow.
Really, I was just like, oh, all right.
If this was 60s Batman, the thing would come up on the TV. Kapow, bam.
That wouldn't happen in 60s Batman. I don't think they would. He would punch... Oh, he might punch Poison Ivy. So he goes into the airlock. He doesn't know it's an airlock. I think he's just trying to escape.
Yeah, so they have like this thing where if you leave the ship, you have to leave the first room. It's like a spaceship. Door closes behind you.
I'd say it's exactly a spaceship.
Well, but that's what I'm just trying to explain.
Yeah, there's two doors. One opens, you walk in, and the other one opens. So, yeah.
Like an airlock.
Like an airlock. So he's in that room.
Between two, both doors are closed.
And he opens the other one, and there's a Chumbly outside, so he goes back in.
Yeah.
And Marge is like, well, you come in here, and we won't kill you, but we'll keep you, like, you're still a hostage.
You can go back to sleep.
You can go out there, and the Chumbly will kill you, even though... So Steve doesn't know that it won't kill him. So yeah. At that point, he still thinks they're probably evil.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you can stand there, and I'm just going to, like, take out all the oxygen. So, they're your options. Now, I was surprised that he didn't make a decision immediately. He just kind of, like, goes, well, I'll just stay here for a bit.
Yeah, he has, like, maybe 60 seconds to make the decision, and he waits until 58.
Yeah, to go, well, I'll leave now. And then they're like, oh, you can't leave now.
It's too late. Because we sucked all the air out, so the door won't open anymore. You idiot. Go back to sleep.
I don't understand how that works.
Well, I think... I don't know if this is how it works, but what she's saying is, because of the pressure, we can't physically open the door now.
Well done, idiot.
Unless, I guess, she puts it back in the room. But I didn't realise, too, thinking about it, those two sides of the story match up, because in both ships, someone is tampering with the air supply to the people who use that ship.
Hmm. To kill some people.
Yeah, I never realised that, but until just now.
The Rel's ship is fixed, and the doctor's like, I can help you take off if we use this cable and, like, plug it in from my ship. I can give you power.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Does that ever happen again?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, cool.
So, because I guess that Artanis has got a lot of energy.
First time again.
So the Rels are like, yeah, we're happy to do this. Because at first the Rels are like, well, we've got 14 days to worry about this. And the doctor's like, no, no, you got two. And then they're like, well, then we will take your help.
Yes, thank you. And they're very polite now.
Yeah, oh, well, they've been polite the whole way through, really.
Yeah, that's true.
The doctor and Vicky, the Rels are happy. The Rels are happy.
Very happy.
Very happy. The Chumley that's outside the Draven spaceship reports back to the Rels that Steven's in there, but trapped. The Doctor and Vicky are like, we'll go get him.
Yeah.
And they go with some Chumleys, and the Draven's are like, oh, like, they've joined the bad team.
Yeah.
So the Warriors try to shoot the Chumley, but Vicky disarms them. The Draven begs to be killed for her failure, but the Doctor says no one will be dying on the planet anytime soon. In the airlock, Steven's like, I'm going to face the Chumley now, and then can't. End of episode. He slumps against a wall and, like, falls down it.
That's it.
That's it. But is there any other notes I have from this episode? Marja seems to know that they're all from Earth.
Yeah, because she makes the comment, she says something like, not all dominant species look like humans, you know. Which I thought was a clever way of saying, hey, you know this whole show, every time you meet people, they look like humans. Well, that's not really the case. Let's just pretend that's not a thing. Because costume's expensive. Let's just put some dots over your eyes and forehead.
I did like how the Doctor, when the Doctor and Vicky were leaving the Rel's ship, Vicky leads first, and then the two Chumbleys leave, and he's like, come on, let's go. Yes.
And they're just dawdling along, like, you know, the way a Dalek would move, but slow.
He taps one with his cane. Let's go. It's pretty good.
Even though later he's the one who's, like, trying to keep up.
I feel like it was also funny that on two occasions, the Doctor's like, Vicky, you go where it's... First time he's like, you go to the TARDIS, stay in the TARDIS, we'll be safe there. And the second time, this one, he's like, you stay here and I'll go into danger. You saved the Rels and I'll go into danger. And both times she's like, no.
Yeah.
And it's a very brief argument where he's like, no, you'll be safe. And she's like, I don't need, I'm coming. And yeah. he's just like, oh, okay. Like, there's just no time for an argument.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Definitely.
Suddenly the way you said that makes it feel like it was not interesting.
No, I know what you're saying.
All right, so the planet's going to explode.
We're back to animation.
Yeah.
They re-show the intro, because normally with these episodes, the intro shows the last thing that happened.
Yeah.
So they show him, they show Stephen collapsing in the airlock.
Animated,
but instead of slowly sliding down the wall, he just drops flat onto the floor.
That's right.
Because I guess it was cheaper to do it that way with the animation.
There is some pictures here. The doctor with the power cable.
Oh, yes.
But there's no video. There's just imagery.
Yeah.
Sad face. So, this is where...
Everything comes to a head.
Everything comes to a head. The Chumbly shoots a bomb into the side of the Draven spaceship, and so Steven is free.
Yep.
The Draven's flee, and are met by a horde of Chumblies, and the Rel tells them, like, they have a... The Rels try to convince them and say, we don't want to kill you. What are you, like, what are you doing? Come with us. We got a ship. We'll fly away.
We have one in a bit Dawn's time.
Yeah. And so they basically give them a warning. They're like, we haven't wanted to kill you, but if you keep doing this, we will kill you.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling that their shots are just to... Because they even mention later, even when they shoot one of the Dravens, it just paralyzes them.
Yes.
It does not kill them. But leaving them on an exploding planet probably will kill them. inside the ship, Marja blames the Draven, the ones that were out of patrol, for the predicament. And she's like, I'm going to punch you later. But for now, we got to go destroy the Rel ship. We'll take it over.
Yeah, see, I thought she said destroy it, which means...
She does say destroy it.
She's basically like, well, if we're going to die, we'll take them with
us. Yeah, and I think I wrote a note somewhere that's like, if we're all going to die together anyway, why don't you help them?
Just go with them and help them.
What's the point of us all dying together?
She's a nutcase.
In the Rel ship, the Doctor puts the finishing touches to his plan and gives a jump start to the ship's engines with the TARDIS. He leaves Steven to recover because he's had an ordeal of sleeping and a lack of oxygen, I guess, for a bit.
No, you're right. All he's done. In fact, we've said it multiple times. We come back, he's sleeping, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Vicky goes to, like, plug in the cord into the TARDIS. So the Doctor is like... Steven's, because he's just met the Rels now, so he's like, now I get to be suspicious of this group of people. So he's like, if the ship thing doesn't work, what are you going to do with us? And the Rels are like, well, I guess we'll just let you go, because there's no point in us dying with, like, all of us dying.
Yeah.
And so,
he doesn't believe it at first until they explain, you know.
Yeah.
We're not like everybody.
They say... that they have no knowledge of conflict and would rather have a life saved than kill someone for no reason. The Rel is told that the Doctor's hooked up the TARDIS, so everything's connected. Steven's a bit nervous. He's not sure the ship will power up in time for him to leave before the explosion happens. So, outside, the Dravens have reached the ship, mm-hmm. and they're, like, firing down from a cliff, and some Chumblies are firing back. So that's all happening. And the Doctor, the Rels tell the Doctor, we're going to send this one Chumbly with you. Like, it will lead you back to your ship and then it will deactivate. And at first Vicky's like, oh my gosh, that's awful. And then they're like, they're just robots, you'll be fine.
Right.
Which I guess is true.
Yeah.
And they bid each other farewell. The Dravens figure out that their weapons aren't doing anything, so they just try and rush into the ship. But they see... like, the Doctor and his companions with Chumblies as well. So they're like... they see the Rel ship fly away, and they're like, oh, that's bad, because now we've got no way off the planet. So they decide to follow the Doctor. Now, I thought the Doctor was going to give him, like, one last getting chance. My ship.
Yep.
That doesn't happen. The planet starts to explode, and they get inside the TARDIS.
And just leave.
So, and there's some funny, which I assume it'd probably be more dramatic if it was in live action.
Right.
But animations of Marge are just kind of like looking at the camera like, I'm about to die. And then it's all over. Yeah.
And then the ground below her collapses and she falls into the lava of the planet as it explodes. And another life is snuffed out.
Nice.
That's how it ends.
The Doctor and the Canyons are like, we need somewhere to... We want to relax somewhere.
Oh, yes. We do see the intro to another interesting looking...
Episode
that has not been created, has it?
No, but...
Yes.
It has been recreated, so I'm going to tell you about that in a minute.
Oh, yes.
So, before we get onto that, would you like to do a quick scan of some trivia for this episode?
Yes, and then we should rate it.
The Doctor and Vicky refer to their trip to Xeros in the Space Museum. Now, I'm just going to open that page, because we said...
It was Barbara.
It was Susan.
Oh, sorry, Susan.
It is Vicky, Ian, and Barbara. So we're both remembering things incorrectly.
Wow. I guess it's been a while since we've... Because
we met Vicky. I think that's the first story after the chase. Because I remember us having a discussion and me being like, if Vicky hadn't have just arrived, I would assume they would have had big bushy eyebrows guy was like a love interest for Vicky.
Yes, okay. So we both completely misremembered that.
The Doctor uses the astral map again, which is from the web planet originally. You know, the thing he stole.
Yes. And
put in his ship.
Right.
Changes for the animated version. With the exception of Marja, all the Dravens are identical. Because they're meant to be like clones, I guess. Or like programmed beings.
That was one of the things when you get to the third episode into the live action one. You suddenly realise there's all these different actresses.
Yeah, but don't you remember that time that they had two doctors?
Oh, yeah.
And they were both, like, having them together. And they had a William Hartnell versus William Hartnell fight. And they even had the same voice.
Yes.
They did not.
And then the companions have to pick which one is the real doctor. And what you want to say is, the one that looks like him? The other guy just looks like some old crazy dude.
All four episodes were thought lost with only very limited material. Airlock, the third episode, was recovered in July 2011. Its return was announced on December 2011. There you go.
So we were pretty lucky because we got to see it all in one go as one full story. But for a long time, people just had the third episode.
Oh, the director, Mervyn Penfield... was originally hired to direct, unfortunately became ill, and Derek Martinus replaced him. So this is his first time directing. Mervyn Penfield, who had done... He directed An Unearthly Child, the first one. All the episodes up to the Romans. He was associate producer from the beginning until the Romans. And he directed The Sensorites.
Oh, yeah.
Planet of Giants. And the Space Museum.
Those were all the good ones.
And he started doing this, and then he fell ill and passed away.
Oh, what a shame.
So this would have been his last directing gig.
Well, you described all the best stories from season two and then this one.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
And he
it
also
anyway.
Kicked it off. He was the first associate producer.
Right.
So Verity Lambert was the producer. He's the associate producer. At the end of The Exploding Planet, Vicky complains of a sprained ankle.
She did. And
I put that there, like it's mentioned there because everyone has a hurt ankle at some point.
Yes.
Barbara's had a hurt ankle. Susan's had a hurt ankle. Vicky's had an ankle.
I don't think this is even the first time Vicky's had a sore ankle. And one of the other people says you should put some water on it.
Sometimes you just need to put some water on an ankle. There's a bunch of stuff here that I'm not going to tell you about because it spoils things.
Okay.
Race this episode now. Go.
I really liked this storyline, and it sucks that we only got one live action out of the four
yes.
episodes. But to be honest, it really is just the first Dalek storyline done slightly differently.
Yeah.
So I would rate it higher, but I'm going to give it an 8.
I was going to give it an 8 as well.
Because I like it a lot.
A Magan. A Paul Magan.
It's not that original, even for Doctor Who.
No, it's pretty standard, but I do like how the bad guys, I guess, are the more humanoid, like human-looking things.
Yeah.
And the good guys are apparently monsters.
Yes.
You know?
That was interesting. And they talk about a few interesting ideas to do with what it means to be a friend or to sacrifice yourself and that sort of a thing. There's a lot of interesting themes in there.
Yes.
So an 8, which is?
Paul Magan.
A Paul Magan.
Can I tell you about the next episode?
Tell me.
So the next story was a 125-minute story arc. So there's not four episodes, just one episode on its own. It is noted for being the only classic episode, I would say, that does not feature the Doctor or any of the companions at all.
What?
So it's called Mission to the Unknown. It features Corey and Lorelei, and the enemies are the Daleks. So it's written by Terry Nation.
Ooh!
So it's got a good writer, yes. But it doesn't feature... It says the Doctor, Steve, and Vicky do not appear and are not mentioned in the episode at all. Instead, its central character is Mark Corey. So, Corey, that I mentioned before. Despite this, William Hartnell was still credited on screen because his contract specified that he would be credited in every episode. So his name appears in the credits as Doctor Who. While the revised series would frequently, so when we get to 2005, would have Doctor Light episodes, to date they've all featured the Doctor in a cameo. So when we get to Modern Who, there's only one episode a season where the Doctor is not in it.
Right.
He's like in it.
Sort of.
And instead it's like the first, the big one I can think of. There's one in with David Tennant called Love and Monsters, which is about Rose, who's the Doctor's companion, her mum and this other character. And there's like the whole other story that's set on Earth.
Right.
And the Doctor and Rose only turn up at like the very end.
Yep.
And there's another one with the Weeping Angels. The first time that those Weeping Angels appear, that's an episode where the Doctor's barely in it.
Right.
Which is great.
But so this is the only episode that's completely Doctorless.
There's no Doctor.
Or companions.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
So...
But it's another lost episode, right? So this is a reenactment of it?
So, yeah, let me find it. No footage of the story survives in the archives, although the full audio still does. The story was recreated by the University of Central Lancashire. The Dalek voices were provided by Nicholas Briggs. So that's the guy that does all the Dalek voices in the new series of Doctor Who.
Oh, right.
And it was released on the official Doctor Who YouTube channel on the 9th of October 2019. So in 2019, which, by the way, students making an episode of Doctor Who in 2019 at a university, it probably won't be bad quality.
Yeah.
So I think you should watch that.
As our next episode. Definitely.
So it doesn't feature the Doctor or the companions, so you can kind of get away with not having the original cast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because you don't need to find an old man to be the Doctor. You know?
That's what we'll do next time.
On Matthew's Doctor Who show.
Featuring someone else. Okay, bye.
Oh, is that it?
What else is there? Oh, yes. Please listen.
If you like the episode, why not review it on iTunes?
And rate it.
And give us a big thumbs up. And tell a friend about it. Be like, you like Doctor Who now. I downloaded this on your phone.
Yes. And tell your friends who don't even watch Doctor Who, because I never have before this podcast. They can listen along with me and think how I feel.
Yeah.
Also, our email is thefanandthefool@gmail.com.
How many emails have we got?
Absolutely none that aren't just admin emails from YouTube saying, please come back. Also, send us memes, your thoughts on the episode, any ideas, so that we can maybe look at them.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.